Thank you very much, Mr. Co-Facilitator, and I want to offer thanks to both of the co-facilitators today for guiding us through this meeting. And similarly, I want to express special thanks to all who have spoken, member states, NGOs, and of course, Indigenous peoples, for participating in this very important conversation this week about how to enhance the participation of Indigenous peoples in the work of the Human Rights Council. I wanted to take a few moments to add the voice of the MRIP, the Expert Mechanism on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, to this first conversation on accreditation principles and criteria. And I want to offer just a handful of insights from the perspective of the MRIP. So, first of all, and known to most, the expert mechanism has been accrediting Indigenous peoples organizations at our own annual sessions in order to enhance the participation of Indigenous peoples beyond those with a simple ECOSOC status. And what we have observed in this experience is that it has significantly increased both the quantity and the quality of Indigenous peoples' participation in our annual sessions. Second point, of course, the mandate of the expert mechanism is to clarify and interpret the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. And the MRIP has weighed in one way or another, on questions of Indigenous peoples' participation several times over the years in our own studies and reports. The first that I was able to locate was way back in 2011, when the expert mechanism was very young and did a report on decision making. And it noted there that Indigenous peoples are among the most excluded, marginalized, and disadvantaged sectors of society. This has had a negative impact on their ability to determine the direction of their own societies, including in decision making on matters that affect their rights and interests. And this can still be a major factor contributing to a disadvantaged position. Decision-making rights and participation by Indigenous peoples in decisions that affect them is necessary to enable them to protect, inter alia, their cultures, including their languages and their lands, territories, and resources. Then more recently, in 2021, MRIP's report was on the right of self-determination. And in this report, in paragraph 17, MRIP wrote that self-determination may also include Indigenous peoples' right to determine their place in the international community based on the principle of equal rights. And from an Indigenous perspective, participation by Indigenous peoples in the international Indigenous space is an example of an exercise of self-determination. Recommendations coming from that report include, at the very end of the report, that the recognition of Indigenous peoples' collective right to self-determination in the Declaration cannot be underestimated. Indigenous peoples' status as peoples enables them to speak of their issues beyond the borders of the state at international forums. That aspect of self-determination, MRIP wrote, extends beyond borders, does not affect the territorial integrity of the state. States should support the participation of Indigenous peoples in such forums and ensure their protection from possible reprisals. Third, I'd like to bring in advice from the Special Rapporteur on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, who has also offered some guidance on the question. In the 2019 report to the General Assembly, the Special Rapporteur noted that Indigenous peoples' right to autonomy or self-government in both its internal and external dimensions is exercised through their own authorities and institutions, which may be traditional, but also more recently created. And the relation of such institutions with the state as a whole has to be established as part of arrangements to be developed by states and Indigenous peoples. And then the Special Rapporteur noted that good practices around the world include the recognition of Indigenous authorities and institutions, including traditional governance systems, and highlighted a significant number of countries that are doing so. So I'd just like to conclude by noting that this has been a long considered question by both the MRIP and the Special Rapporteur. And in the view of the MRIP, Article 3 and 4 of the UN Declaration provide some important high-level guidance on Indigenous peoples' ability to represent themselves in a multitude of spaces. And it is the strong view of the MRIP that Indigenous peoples, as peoples, must have the right to represent themselves in the Human Rights Council. They are self-governing entities, they represent certain constituencies, and are distinctive from NGOs. And I want to note that we have heard a series of important concrete suggestions from the floor, offered by member states, offered by NGOs, and also by Indigenous peoples participating today as Indigenous peoples' representative institutions. It's a long list, and I know our co-facilitators will do a summary, and I welcome the further conversation on the next agenda items. Thank you.